Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
I know that this is a Bravo podcast, but White Lotus, we talked about it last week and previously, finaled. Without spoiling for anyone who hasn't watched it yet, what are your thoughts on how it ended?
Andrew had called it, so, I mean, not the specific way
the
in
very
which it
specific
happened.
Circumstances.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he guessed ultimately the demise.
Who did what to whom?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I loved it. I just thought it was a great show, beginning to end.
I mean, in the end, it's a lot about class, money, and how that impacts people, right?
Yes.
Thematically. Yeah. So for Housewives fans, there's a lot of parallels, I think.
Right.
So check it out.
Yeah, it's
on HBO.
Let us
know what you guys think. Yeah. Also, you are filming Another Life After Bravo.
Yes, tomorrow.
This week. Can you tease who it will be with?
You may be shocked to hear from her again.
Oh.
Is that a good tease?
That was good.
Yeah.
I have some guesses. Mostly because you told me. Okay, what else is going on with Bravo?
Well, the Below Deck Med after show has launched, so you need to catch the crew sounding off about each episode every Monday night on BravoTV.com and Bravo's YouTube channel Tuesday morning.
Also, as we talked about last week, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is premiering on September 12th. And if you missed our bonus episode recapping the trailer, check it out because obviously there was a lot to discuss.
And Below Deck Season 9 premieres October 25th. And since it was nominated for 2 Emmys, I think you can feel really good. You can feel sort of highbrow about watching it.
That's true.
Yeah. So there you go.
Oh, my God. All right. What are we recapping today?
Real Housewives of Potomac, Below Deck Med, and Beverly Hills.
We also have an interview with Katie Flood, Chief Stew from Below Deck Med. Okay, let's go. Potomac. The Cottage ladies really got a raw deal in this whole thing. I mean, come on.
It's not that the Cottage is bad.
No.
It's just in comparison to the estate.
Literal estate. I mean, Cottage, estate, it's pretty clear.
Now, how is it that Karen got that room? Because, I mean, she's an OG, so you would think she'd get a good room.
She and Candace are not, I think, back into the place they were at the start of last season.
I mean, Candace is lucky to be staying in the state. I know it's her trip,
right.
But let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, to separate Escala and Robin is a little shady, too, because Escala is there through Robin. It's her friend. But at least Wendy and Karen are getting along. Everyone in the Cottage is getting along. So less chance of drama until they all get together, which we saw.
Can we talk about the dinner?
Yeah.
I mean, I loved the dinner in that I feel like we were finally peeling back some layers that we've been trying to get to this season. I feel like Escala was voicing what I've been thinking about Robin this whole season, which is that it sounds like maybe some medication could help Robin. And I don't think that that is a bad thing to say. I think that that is like something I can relate to. I think a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah.
But I think that at a certain point, it's not that you're unmotivated. I think that you might need some additional support in your life, whether it's through chemicals or what.
I've been depressed before, and the symptoms that you're, what you're saying really sounds like depression.
Are you depressed? I believe I'm seasonally depressed, but now that it's springtime, let's see what happens.
Sure. Okay.
But I always
go through
this. Do you
get that every
year? Yes. Every year.
That's a real thing.
Robin, you're getting back in the bed, and you're in the bed until noon. That's a problem.
Yeah, it was interesting, Robin's approach to the whole thing, because she seemed unbothered by it, but also very aware. I have seasonal depression. I've felt that in the past. I think that's all it is. I'm probably fine. But adding in the layers of pandemic and stress at home and all of that stuff, she may need to take a step back and think, okay, maybe I really am going through something a little bit bigger than I thought initially.
Right.
So I was glad everyone was there to help her navigate that conversation and that she was so open, even in the last episode talking about Juan's parents and them passing away from, you know, HIV/AIDS. You know, Robin is starting to open up more than we've seen, I think, in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
When it comes to all of the stuff with Wendy and the changes that she's made.
Yeah.
Do you think that Giselle and Robin are coming from the right place?
No.
Okay. Me neither.
Here's the thing. I think that you aren't allowed to comment on how much skin someone is showing unless it's just like, you look great.
Yeah.
If she is more confident in her body now, let's say, that's her business.
Right. And she looked damn good in that Versace outfit.
Of course.
I mean, come on. Her boobs? Are you kidding me?
I just feel like I am someone who likes to wear as little clothing as possible. And therefore, anything that's not in total support of that makes me angry.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, I don't think that Robin was necessarily coming from a bad place. It's just she came at the situation. Like, just ask what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, are you dressing this way because you're insecure in your marriage?
Right.
Like, if that's really what your question is, because the way they went about it has actually just made her, Wendy, feel like shit at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And the way she got so emotional with Karen the next day.
Yeah, that made me really sad.
I don't think we've seen Wendy that vulnerable so far. You know, I don't think we saw her cry once last season.
No.
So to see her get that emotional over it, I felt really bad.
Because you are making yourself vulnerable in a way. Like, even when you do, it's funny because even like when I, this isn't the smallest example, but when I come out of the bathroom, let's say in a new outfit, and I don't like get a comment on it from Andrew, let's say.
Yeah.
I just feel like, oh, you know, like I made myself like a, like just the teensiest bit.
Right.
Where I'm just like, oh, I have this new outfit and maybe it shows some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He always has a nice comment, but the thought that he couldn't. And so I think for then Wendy to come and get not only, it's better to have like zero attention on it than to come at her negatively.
Yeah. Well, she also has been leading with a lot of confidence this season. And it felt like they took that away from her in that moment. They kind of made her feel bad about the changes that she made and being like, well, you've lost your substance. Like, you've lost all these. Like, why can't she be smart and sexy? I don't understand why it has to be one or the other.
Like, it's totally not the Wendy that I met. It is way different from Professor Wendy, Substance Wendy.
We are often put in a box that you cannot be sexy and have substance.
I don't know. Okay, I think I disagree with that because you will never see Michelle Obama with her boobies out. You will never see Oprah with her boobies out, right? Because you say don't put ourselves in a box. But damn, like if you're a professor, you have to embody
that. No, you do not.
Because that's who you are.
That's a lie. I stand before you as someone who still has multiple degrees, who's still a professor at one of the highest institutions, who's still a commentator, who still does all of those things.
Right.
And that does not take away from any of my accolades. You said substance, Wendy. That's triggering, especially for a career woman.
Mm. You were sexy last year.
Mia really surprised me in her hot take on the situation, which is that she argued with Wendy and said, but the truth is when you're a professor, you do need to dress a certain way. Look at Michelle Obama. Look at Oprah. And I was like, what, Mia?
Like, Michelle Obama was the first lady of the United States, okay? She can't be wearing Versace the way Wendy is. Like,
but also she could.
She can if she wants.
Like, I don't think that's the message we're supposed to take away from Michelle Obama, is that you need to cover up. You know what I mean? Like, that is so silly.
Yeah, Mia seems to be a little flip-floppy in certain situations. We saw it early on with Giselle and her being like, well, I think Giselle has a great heart and a beautiful spirit and all of that. And then, like, the text message she sent a few days later, a few weeks later, whatever it was, she kind of flipped on Giselle. So maybe Mia is still a little rocky in her housewife journey.
Yeah.
I also think that Giselle and Robin are maybe looking for something that isn't there with this Wendy situation. You know, like, is it about the rumors? Is there something more to it? They're kind of picking at her, trying to find something that might not be beneath the surface.
Like, I sort of get where they're, I mean, obviously, this is a new Wendy from last season, but I feel that way in a lot of respects, job-wise, too. You know, she's pivoting.
Is she still a professor?
Right. Like, I think
so.
She is, yes. But, you know, she's just, I get what they're saying in that this is a new Wendy, but I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. And I think to attach it to the body stuff is weird.
Yeah, I think they're going about it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Asking the wrong questions. One thing I did agree with Giselle on was the conversation she had with Candace about Chris being her manager. And she brought up a point about, will she end up resenting him because she's working so hard, she's pursuing her dreams, and has he let himself fall to the wayside and what his goals were and all of that. But on the flip side, he may end up resenting Candace.
That he has to make his whole life about her.
Right. If she continues to find success in music, in acting, in education, like all of the things that she has on her plate and he's there backing her, at a certain point he may resent her success and use it against her. I don't think he's that type of person, but years and years of that, things can change.
It's just like Sex and the City movie, you know, the first one,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like Samantha is like, I say Smith Jared's name, you know, 100 times more than my own in a day.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
Right. Right. Can always bring it back to Sex and the City.
Always. Oh my God. I saw Cynthia Nixon on Governor's Island this weekend.
You did?
Yes.
Oh my God. Rojo Caliente. Did you ever read Delisted?
No.
That was her nickname on the website.
What was it?
Rojo Caliente. I said it in the most like American accent way, but Rojo Caliente. Wonky McFaltrex was Paris Hilton's nickname. Does anyone remember that? Did you ever read D-Listen? No. She's too young.
I read a What Would Tyler Durden Do? Did you ever
read that one?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what did Cynthia Nixon look like? Was she eating her very controversial bagel order?
What is her bagel order?
It was like...
God, you know a lot about Cynthia
Nixon.
I know
way too much suddenly, I'm realizing. It was a cinnamon raisin bagel with like veggie cream cheese or something. It was like scallion cream cheese. It was some combination of sweet and savory that even sweet and savory fans were like, this is too much.
Yeah, it's weird. She was riding one of those four people bikes. Her son, you know, like it's a car,
yeah.
but it's a bike.
Okay, yeah.
Her son was in front of her on a bike leading the charge, and it was her wife, and another couple. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have recognized. Like, I thought I saw her. But, you know, she's wearing a baseball cap. And she looks very un-Miranda-like in her real life.
Of course.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But her wife is very distinctive looking.
But you know what?
So that's how I immediately recognized
her. You're right. And now that I think about it, I have to correct myself because Rojo Caliente is her wife's nickname on D-Listed.
Got it.
I think Cynthia's is just Cynthia. Yeah.
So back to Potomac,
because there is one more thing that I really would love to hear your opinion on. Giselle sat there at that table. She asked Candace about what was going on with Chris and being a manager. She asked Robin all about like Juan and her depression.
And gave Robin a real hard time,
by the way. A real hard time. She asked Wendy all about these changes. The second something came up about Jamal, she refused to answer.
I'm not going to discuss that in front of trolls.
I was so mad. This is why Giselle really pisses me off sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, the reason you don't want to talk about it in front of Karen is because Karen is going to ask the tough questions.
Right.
And if you're able to ask all these people tough questions, you need to be able to take it. Oh, it makes me so mad. Yeah.
I mean, I understand that Giselle might not want to bring it up in front of Karen because Karen will probably sit there. I know. But Karen will sit there and say, that was a lie. Your relationship was a lie. It was all a lie. That's what Karen has been harping on this whole time. She does not believe what happened last season with their reconnection was legitimate.
I don't blame Karen for having that opinion.
Right.
Look where we are today.
Yeah. And I wasn't even clear until this particular episode that Giselle and Jamal were fully done again. It seemed like things weren't great. Pandemic had affected a lot of things, but I didn't realize they were done.
She was putting like a bow on it before.
Yeah, but I want some answers.
Right.
I want a few lines of explanation and then be done with it. Then if she's broken up with Jamal, we don't have to talk about him again. But just close that chapter then so Karen can't talk about it anymore.
You know?
But she did not take that opportunity. Below Deck Med?
Yes. Okay, wait. I have to start by talking about the fact that Courtney, while drunk, has gotten yet another head injury.
Ow. Oh, shit. Hey, what is going on?
Are we not worried about Courtney?
I'm not.
I feel like it's in the movie Serendipity, where Molly Shannon...
I haven't thought about that movie in a while.
Like something, they're at Chelsea Piers. They're looking for John Cusack. And so she gets hit with the golf club, but then like something else happens. It was just like one thing after another. And it just felt like, It feels like that's what's happening to Courtney, because it's like the last time Z dropped her, the one time he was carrying her when they were drunk. And then today it was David, you know, hitting her as he's trying to get her out of his bed.
She'll be fine.
I hope.
You know, no good deed goes unpunished. You also know that feeling they all had the next day of waking up and knowing that you have work to do and you have a lot ahead of you and you're just feeling so hungover and unhappy and you're going through those waves, you know, of like, oh, maybe I'll be fine. And then a wave hits you and you're like, oh, I'm not okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The way hangovers have hit me in my 30s is that I absolutely think I'm fine. And then I realize I think maybe I was just still drunk. And
oh, yes.
It hits me like once I've gotten to the office, let's say.
Yeah, like hours
and
after.
And then I'm just like, oh, no.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun being in our 30s. Speaking of booze, we have this whole new group of guests that arrive on the boat with full-blown t-shirts that are like, more alcohol, please, or whatever it said on there, where you're like, all right. Which I don't totally remember this particular group of guests from the previous season they were on.
Right.
But I have a feeling they're going to make us remember with their shenanigans. But 69 bottles in seven days between 7 or 8 people. I couldn't tell exactly how many were on this chart. I mean, that's like a whole bottle of liquor per person a day. That's a lot of alcohol.
It's also just, I don't know, maybe it's me entering a new phase of my life, but like I find it such a like gross shtick to be just about like, we're going to get wasted and that's our thing. And we even have t-shirts that say it. And it's like, how old are you? Like, you know what I mean? At a certain point, like I have this friend right now and she's about to start the process of getting pregnant. And so she keeps acting like, this is our last chance to hang out. And I'm like, babe, you need to like think of other things in life that make you happy than just going out and getting blackout, you know?
We need to develop another hobby in addition to blacking out. Tell her to watch Below Deck Med. Does she watch Bravo? There's plenty.
You know what?
To
she doesn't, and that's why I don't feel bad saying anything.
You're like, she will never hear this. What do you think about Lexi feeling a type of way about this hierarchy, right? Where she's like, I'm a second stew. I shouldn't be doing laundry. I shouldn't be doing third stew responsibilities. I'm not about it.
I'm literally the Cinderella of this charter.
Finish this. And back to laundry.
And that's not okay.
I actually sort of get where she's coming from in that in most jobs, you have to pay your dues to get to the comfy position.
Yeah.
And so, like, even I think you would be upset if someone started to ask you to do, like, things that interns are supposed to do.
Right, yes. I definitely have had those experiences, you know, at my job, and not just here, but in the past, where you're kind of like, well, that's not really, I shouldn't have to do that anymore, you know?
Right.
But it's also, on the flip side, it's no excuse to half-ass the job either.
No, absolutely.
You know, and it seemed like Lexi was taking the opportunity to not get things done so then she could just run and tell Katie, oh, well, there wasn't enough time. Like, I'm too busy. Like, there was too much going on. I didn't have time to finish making the beds or doing the laundry or doing the third stew responsibilities because I was doing my second stew responsibilities, which is what I was hired for. It's just like, all right, we get it. Yes, it sucks. But also, give Courtney a chance to get more service experience. She seems to be getting along with everybody. The guests just fine. Like, why not? It's all about how you frame it. Just think about it in another way, Lexi.
I also feel like when someone calls you, says like this thing didn't get done, your response, I don't think you necessarily need to say I'm sorry, like fine. You need to say shit, like that will never happen again.
Yeah, my bad.
But don't say, oh, well, I had all these things to do. Like it's as if she thinks that by not admitting that she messed up, like it didn't exist. Right. It didn't happen. Right. It's like that doesn't work. I think you have to take the responsibility.
Yeah. And just be like, oh, yeah, my bad. I'll actually go and finish the laundry, make the beds, do whatever as soon as I finish pouring this drink for these crazy drunk guests. When the police were arriving, were you low-key hoping that it was something a little more dramatic than jet skis too close to the shore?
Like I was. What?
I don't know.
Like drugs?
Yeah. I was like, maybe there's something, like they're coming for one of the guests who is wanted, you know?
That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, they you know how the editors like to do. They're like, the police are coming. I feel like they cut to a commercial around that point, too, where you're like, oh, what could it be? And then it's just like, 300 meters from the shoreline, please. And you're like, oh, boring. I want an arrest. We're talking about it with the Real House of Salt Lake City trailer. Remember how it's becoming true crime?
Oh, right.
How Housewives and Bravo is just becoming all true crime.
Yes.
We need someone below deck. Okay, the slide situation.
I love it when all the toys are out. I want to look like the most fun boat on the water.
You get all the toys in the water.
Okay.
Every time we anchor.
Is everything out?
Almost everything's out, yeah.
You guys killed it. You got all the stuff out for us. And it's like you guys working 24/7. I don't know how you do it, but
yeah,
we appreciate it.
We have to make every second count for the client. I always want the client to have fun.
Yeah, of course.
I don't care how much this is a battle.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We battle it.
Yeah, the slide's fine. Okay. This is the least of my battles.
How's it going?
It needs serious air.
I have it confirmed that there is an actual leak.
After every slide, we can just have the pump plugged in and just keep airing it up after every...
I know. The problem is we have one pump, so it's going from here, back there, here.
Why? Is there leaks back there?
No, we have toys to pump up.
Did anyone else like a top off of one?
All right, I'll do this.
Okay.
This is when Captain Sandy, she's just that micromanaging boss that's like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Sandy.
We'll blow it up. It didn't seem like the guests
It didn't seem like it was an issue at all, but she decided to make it an issue.
It's like, let it go. And then she's talking about it in the other room, and Malia's overhearing it, and Malia's like, come on, let this one go, Sandy. It's just a slide.
Right.
They'll be fine.
Let the mouse go.
I loved the drunken games that they played.
That was fun.
That was really fun. So slide being deflated or not, they're not going to remember that part. They're going to remember the Olympic games that they played while wasted.
I can't imagine doing Edward 40 hands again.
No.
That made me feel a little ill.
I definitely, watching every step that they had to take, thought, I would vomit. Like, I would barf just from the physical activity alone. Never mind the drinking on top of that and drinking different things.
Right.
No. Mm-mm. Does Lexi depart in the next episode?
See, I feel like, again, we're getting like a little bit of trickery, maybe.
Well, someone new arrives.
But I think maybe, because Sandy's been in such support of Lexi, I think it's going to be you guys just need an extra person.
A fourth stew.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
Put her in the kitchen. Matt needs the help.
Really?
So I got the chance to chat with Below Deck Med's chief stew this season, Katie Flood. We chatted about the crew drama, the rowdy guests that are on the show right now, and of course, her ex Jack's tattoo of her face on his arm. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with Below Deck Med's chief stew, Katie Flood. What's going on, Katie?
Hi. Oh my God, where do I start? I've literally just dropped off charter. I've done about 7 back-to-back trips. I'm up in Alaska at the moment. So,
oh my God.
I'm not feeling cute. I've got big bags under my eyes, but you know, this is yachting.
Well, and this is also a podcast interview, so it doesn't matter what you look like.
I'm very happy. It's the first thing I checked. I was like, is this going to be audio or video? Because it makes a huge difference, because right now I can tell you it's not cute.
Right. Well, you kick back and relax. We're just going to have a chat. It's going to be fine.
Amazing.
Well, I need to ask this and just get it out of the way. Can you please
tell our listeners the story behind Jack's tattoo of your face.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. Oh God, you know, me and Jack broke up like coming up 5 years ago. We were really young. I think I had just turned 23 when I met Jack. We were in Thailand. We were in a marina called Yacht Haven Marina, and it's the biggest super yacht marina in Phuket. So my boat was there, his boat was there, and there's obviously like one crew bar. So you end up, you know, meeting all the other yachties because every night everyone goes and gets drunk, obviously. And me and Jack met, we hit it off, and then we were at this other bar and he was like, do you want to come get a tattoo with me tomorrow? And I was like, well, what are you getting? He's like, oh, I want to get a female lady in an Indian headdress to match. He has like a male one on his arm also.
Okay.
He's like, I want to get a female one. I was like, oh, that's really funny. I actually have a photo of me wearing an Indian headdress. When I was younger, I used to do like a little bit of modeling and stuff on the side. So I showed him the photo and he was like, send that to me. I'm going to get that. And, you know, I was like, oh, he's talking absolute garbage. You know, like drunk talk. You
right.
know how it is.
Yeah. Like, sure, buddy.
Yeah. Like, whatever, mate. Like, don't even know you. I don't even know if we had hooked up at this point. I honestly couldn't tell you. We were vibing, but that was it. And so anyway, I ended up going on charter. And then I get this message from one of the boys that he works with. And it was a video, but you couldn't really see, like it was quite blurry. And I was like, oh, they're just pulling my leg. So he was like videoing Jack's arm being like, he got your face. I was like, whatever. I was like, send me a photo. And he sent me a photo. And I was like, holy f-. Like this guy actually just got my face tattooed on his arm.
Oh my God.
yeah. So, I mean, it worked out well because we ended up dating for like a year and a half after that. And he still has it and he says he'll never change it. It was just, you know, a good time in our lives, I guess. So yeah, that's the story behind the tattoo.
To be 23 again, you know?
I know. Oh my God. I was wild. Like I could not do that now.
Do you have any tattoos of anybody's face anywhere that we should know about?
No. I left that all up to Jack, you know. He took one for the team there and looks like he's not living it down anytime soon. So
well, thank you for that. Yeah, I was just so curious. I mean, my jaw dropped at the start of the season when you were like, oh yeah, that's me, by the way. I was like, what?
It's crazy. Oh, even production, like when, you know, we were going through casting and stuff, I forget about it. And I think it was the last like thing, like I was in the last round of casting and then I was like, oh, my ex-boyfriend Jack was on the show. And everyone's like, what? Like, plot twist.
I know. I mean, there was a lot around his time on the show going on, you know, all of it. Yeah. So everyone was, I think, pretty floored, but also excited, surprised, all of the above.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's get into your season on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, after all of that hot tub drama early on, Captain Sandy gave you this advice about giving Lexi another chance. So looking back, are you glad that you did?
Look, at the time, I think the hardest thing for me was I was actually really drunk that night too. For some reason, I came across like I was really put together. I was actually really, really drunk when this was all happening. I think just the severity of what was going on like kind of sobered me up quick. But in the morning when I woke up and I said to Courtney, I was like, Lexi said some fucked up shit last night. I could not remember what she had said. I knew it was bad. I woke up being like, shit, something happened last night that was bad. And like, you know, I had bits and bobs, but I couldn't tell you exactly what she had said. So when I was on the bridge talking to Captain and Sandy, I was like, I don't want to make up something that this girl said that might not be true just because I'm feeling angry and hurt, because that's not fair also, even though, you know, it was pretty messed up what Lexi did. And like my gut feeling was that it was kind of like, you can't come back from this. So when Captain Sandy did say like, try, I mean, my face kind of says it all. I was like, oh, like it was really hard. But at the end of the day, like the job goes on. Like we had charters, we had all this. And I think the viewers forget that a lot because they get very caught up in that. But it's like, we still had a boat to run. Like, yeah, we were all caught up, but we were just in survival mode.
Yeah. I mean, firing someone is so much easier said than done because you have jobs to do.
Exactly. And I think at the time, you know, like I can't undermine the captain. That's the captain's orders. The captain makes these decisions. So I just had to deal with it. You know, looking back, I definitely there's things I would have done better. But in this situation, like, I was emotional, I was upset. I knew it was really bad, and I didn't know how myself and how the crew was going to survive this season with something this severe happening so early on. So to have to be confronted with that, like, nearly every day, and then it was just, you know, a backlash every time. It was like something around Lexi, it was just like this ongoing thing. And yeah, like, it was hard. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it was really hard.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough position to be in as a leader, as someone who, you know, is on this boat with a lot of responsibility over these other people. And that event did affect more than just, you know, the Stews. It was like the whole entire crew.
The whole, she insulted every single one of us, you know, and yeah. Even my, including myself.
Yeah.
So,
and like David, I was like, leave David alone.
Oh my God. David and Z, like, how could you? <I know. laughs> That, like, the sweetest human being. And like, I don't know. It was just, I think the whole thing was so bizarre. We were also so like, what? Like, I still don't really understand how everything blew up so quickly.
Right. It's called alcohol.
You know, like, alcohol, lack of sleep, you know, the whole shebang. And yeah, I just, my own personal thing, I think I should have been a lot sterner with Captain Sandy. Like, I did go to her. I mean, it shows it throughout the season a couple of times, but I think as well, the more I go to her, it became later in the season, there was more pressure, more drama, more crap happening. And my anxiety was getting super bad.
Yeah.
So it was all just blowing up in front of my eyes, basically.
Right, right. Well, in this most recent couple of episodes, you know, Lexi goes in to do turndowns and laundry and is more, I guess, in that third Stew position. But mm-hmm. even so, she's a second Stew. But isn't all of it part of the job? Isn't rotating kind of part of the process?
Honestly, this roughs me up so much. Like, yeah, okay, because you were second Stew, ideally you do get more service time. We had three Stews, okay? So it's myself on service. I am the chief. That is my job. And then I have two Stews below me. If I don't rotate them, one of them's going to be in laundry the whole season. They're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And just because the second Stew thinks she's worthy of it, like, that's not how it works. Like, we have a boat to run. In my eyes, like, we're equal. We're all playing our part. We've all got to, you know, put in our own work and, like, to get this boat going. There's all these different things. Like, I am more than happy to jump into a day head and scrub it. Like, I'm more than happy to jump into the laundry. But unfortunately, my job as chief stew means I have to be in front of the guests. But, you know, it's just, that's what's frustrating for me, is it's not choosing anyone or thinking anyone's better. It's like, there's a job to done, whether you're in laundry or somebody else's. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's how a team works, right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah. And like, I want my girls to be strong in all departments. So,
right. Of
yeah,
course.
That's just, you know, if someone else wants to become chief stew and run things differently, that's their choice, you know, and yeah. This was mine.
How was it working with Malia this season?
You know, I had such a positive experience working with her. She absolutely, like, saved me. I think we had a really good working relationship, and I think we respected each other and each other's departments. So on a whole, I believe it brought us all, like, together, and, you know, we all did work like a team. And, you know, the deck crew saved my ass so many times. Obviously my department was the department that was struggling the most this season. So to have the help from the deck crew, you know, they were more than happy to jump in wherever they were needed. And it was, yeah, it was really good. Like, I love that girl.
Right. How awkward was it to watch David shoot his shot that one night?
Oh, yeah, that was painful. I'm not gonna lie. I think as well at the time, like, you knew it was going on, but not to the extent, you know, because there's also, like, you guys just see the one thing that, like, the cameras are focusing on, whereas there's so much more little stuff going on. So, like, we'll notice something, but then, you know, Courtney and Z will be making out and something funny in the corner. And so you don't really take in, like, how, what's actually being said or what's really going on.
Right.
So watching that back, yeah, it was definitely, I'm not gonna lie, entertaining. Like, God bless David. That's so what he's like, though. He'll just, like, give it a shot, put it, like, he wears his heart on a sleeve. So, you know, kudos to him.
I know. We've been talking about it on the podcast, this whole idea of good guys always finish last, and it just feels like sometimes, yes.
Yeah, David is, honestly, he's such a sweetheart. Like, we've got this group chat that we write in every day. And if someone's not going through a hard time, if you say like, oh, I'm not feeling well, you know, this has happened, he'll be the first person to call you on the phone and be like, are you okay? I'm always here. Like, I love you. I support you. Like, you're amazing. Like, he is just, you know, he's the sweetest person.
Oh my God. I love that. So wait, you guys are in a group chat. Who is the most active in the group chat?
Probably David.
Okay. Yep. I can see that.
I sort of jump in and out. I mean, I'm always on charter and right now I'm in Alaska. So, you know, we'll be cruising through glaciers and I won't have internet for like a day. So I'm very like, I'm quite flaky at the moment. But he's always been, you know, he's always the first one to like put nice things in the group or like funny things. So yeah, he's definitely the most active. Aww, for sure.
I love that. Well, my second guess, other than David, would have been Courtney. And, you know, watching Courtney and Z, their little like drunken flirtation this season.
Oh my God.
Fun to watch.
Ben
but like,
and Chloe, they are hilarious.
Right, that's right. I mean, is there anything more there or is it just like, that's just when they get drunk? That's what happens.
It's just Clav and Clav. Mav and Chloe. It's not Courtney and Z, unfortunately.
Right.
But you know, it was just fun. Like, you know, a little drink and hook up. There was no problems. They still like worked hard. They worked together. They're still really good friends. They actually just did a live together just before. Yeah, we all have this really weird like bond and connection. So that didn't really like make it awkward or anything like that.
Right, right. Yeah, never felt awkward. Even if like, no. Just like, oh, we made out, whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's really cool to see actually. Yeah, I love it.
Now, did you have your eyes on anybody this season? Because I mean, I know that there was like the engineer, the chief officer on the boat. They were quite cute. I don't know. It's just,
oh my God, so cute.
Right?
Yeah, no, I totally had the biggest crush on Martin, the chief officer. But you know, he's not really part of the proper film crew. They just have to be on there for maritime law, you know?
Yeah.
And to make sure the vessel is still running properly and stuff like that. So for legal reasons, but no, he was definitely a cutie. I talk about it so much. I don't know how much they'll show, but yeah, he's a cutie for sure.
I know every time they cut to them, I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, I know. And I love a Dutchman. He's Dutch. I just, you know, the secret little thing for Dutchmen.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, this charter that's happening right now is the first one that Chef Matt hasn't like left or quit or whatever. So were you surprised by his ups and downs this season?
Look, it definitely was a red flag at the beginning. And, you know, from that first day he walked off, I was just like, holy shit, like, what am I doing? Like, what have I signed up for here? Like, but at the time we're also so busy. Like, we have so much still to do that there's only like so much you can give to like stressing and thinking about that. And, you know, at the time I was just like, okay, well, it is what it is. Either we're going to have a chef or we're not, and we'll just have to figure it out along the way. And that's a lot of things with yachting. So
yeah,
it obviously didn't make it easy. The only thing like that I did like about Matt is he would have these freakouts, whether it was his anxiety, he's drunk or too much or whatever, but he'd always own his shit, you know. He came back, he would apologize. He'd always say, I fucked up, I'm not perfect. And, you know, that, for me, and I know a lot of people, that goes a long way. Like, nobody's perfect on this planet. We all make bad decisions, bad mistakes and stuff. But if you own your shit and learn from it, that's all that matters. And Matthew did really learn. And you'll see as the season continues, you know, he really does shine. So
yeah, well, it seems like the guests absolutely love his food. So at the end of the day,
his food.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I could just sit in the galley all day and just let him like cook for me. He would make the nicest stuff. Yeah, he's very talented.
Well, let's talk about Lloyd, because I want to be his best friend, and after seeing him get so emotional on the show, it's just like, is he amazing in real life like he is on the show?
Yeah, it's exactly, I think the way everybody is on the show is how we all are, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously things get exaggerated a little bit due to editing, but like the general consensus is that's what we're all like. Lloyd is such a pure soul. And you know, I'm so proud of him for sharing what he did share. Like, that was really, really hard for him. And it was a little touch and go whether that was actually going to air or not. You know, just out of respect for him, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy that he did. You know, the response has been positive, and I think it's done him a world of good, you know, and I can imagine that many people have been in his situation. So I feel like for me, if that helps anybody, like seeing that, that, you know, people were like, there are good people out there, people will support you no matter what you're going through, then yeah, I think that was such a meaningful moment for sure.
Absolutely. It felt like a very productive conversation, even though he was upset and he had been mistreated in the past, but yeah, seeing the support of the crew and just knowing, you know, that it just felt like very helpful for him and for a lot of viewers, I'm sure.
Yeah. I've received so many DMs and it just like warms my soul that I'm like, yes, like, you know, I'm such a like, what people think.
Yeah.
Like, that's my mentality. And you've got to be true to yourself, because otherwise you're not going to be happy at the end of the day. Like, maybe you'll lose someone or two along the way, but then they're not worthy of you. So that's how I always look at life. So that moment was really, really special. And, you know, I think, you know, for Lloyd as well, it was hard. He's obviously gone through some trauma, and he just felt comfortable with us. So that was amazing too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad we got to see that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these charter guests that you guys have at the moment are really into partying.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they rank in your list of most difficult or wildest guests ever?
You know what? They weren't difficult. They were not difficult. They just wanted to drink, right? And I can yeah, guarantee you right now that if I chartered a yacht, I would be doing the same thing. So it wasn't that they were difficult. They just drank a lot. They were actually really fun. I really liked these charter guests. It was just my team was lacking and it reflected on me. And then it was just a domino effect. So it looks like they were really demanding, but they honestly weren't. It was just, you know, Interior wasn't stepping up to the plate, and they weren't getting exactly what they wanted.
I know, but like, is there even enough booze in Croatia to support them? Because I don't know.
Yeah, look, I'm not gonna lie, when they told me they drank like 70 bottles of whatever it is in lockdown, I was like, heart sunk. I was like, oh my god. And like, when you're that far into a season as well, you're like, do I have this in me? Like, you have to dig deep to be like, oh my God, like, here goes to the lack of sleep. I already, like, you know, I don't sleep enough as is. So, you know, that's going out the window.
Right.
So yeah, that was an interesting one for sure.
Do they drink more than Leonardo DiCaprio and his crew drink?
Oh my God, this was like 7 years ago. I was day working. It was a party on a boat. So it was a different situation. It was a Cannes Film Festival, people invited on as guests. So there was a lot of drinking going on there too. But I mean, it's general. People charter yachts and they drink a lot.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's the point.
That's what you do, you know? Yeah, totally.
Well, I want to put a spoiler alert out for our listeners who haven't watched the next episode, because it is available on Peacock. I've already watched it. Mm-hmm. You've already lived it. So I want to ask a few questions.
Of course.
So okay. Spoiler alert, everyone. In this episode, Sandy offers you the chance to bring on another crew member, but you were a little hesitant. Why?
Mm-hmm. So it actually didn't show all of my hesitation. There was a lot more behind that than I guess what was shown in this episode. So earlier in the season, obviously Captain Sandy had a deck stew in quarantine, because of everything that went on with Matthew. And then obviously, I don't know if it was because of Lexi or not, like, I was never told that. Captain Sandy never shared that with me. So I was really hesitant because there was so much going on already. We'd made it this far in the season, and it's about like crew dynamic as well. One person, I mean, you guys see it, one person can change the whole crew dynamic.
Yeah.
And with Lexi as well, like, this was a really hard situation to navigate because she can be a ticking time bomb, you know? And I think a lot of people are sort of like giving me a bit of grief right now, saying I should have a backbone. It's like, no, I was trying to make sure nothing bad was going to happen so we can just keep going. Like, we still have charters to like fill after this. We're still working, we're still busy. If, you know, Lexi took this the wrong way, then who knows what she would have done, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was really just like torn in a lot of directions, and it didn't show it on this episode. You know, there was just a lot of like talk between the crew and it was just like weighing heavily on me. People were like, oh, we have to split our charter tips. And it's like,
oh
my God, yeah. Like when there's all this like white noise in your head and I was already stressed, I was already anxious. And yeah, that was a really hard one for me. I mean, my gut told me not to do it. And I went with it. So you guys will see what will happen coming up next. So
interesting. Well, we know someone arrived. So what can you tease about the newcomer?
Yeah. So I can, you guys have no idea.
Oh, oh my God.
It's so funny. People, you know, think they've got this all figured out. And trust me, this is the plot twist of the season, I think.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, it was a lot. I still to this day, I'm like, what the fuck? So I think it's not what everyone thinks. And I think people are going to be a little bit shocked as to what actually happens with this whole situation. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Wow. Yeah, and I was not in a good way. So I'm not sure how excited I am to relive this.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I'm excited. Sorry.
Yeah. No, of course. It is good. Like, I've got to give it. It is good. I just don't think any of us expected what's about to happen. So
well, also with the rest myself. Of this, yeah, with the rest of this season, we see a trailer at the end of this episode too about what's to come, and it's full of like injuries and Lloyd is facing an illness. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's funny because like when you're filming, like you forget about all this stuff, and now I'm like, oh my God, that's right. Yeah, it's just a lot. Like, as well, this is such a high pressure environment, and people forget when you add a film crew to this and you have a camera in your face 24/7, like, it really does take a toll. So, you know, people make mistakes, shit happens, we're all tired, you know, we go out drinking, we don't really take care of ourselves the way we should be. So then, you know, all these like negative things start to happen. So unfortunately, this is exactly what happened in this case.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to watch the rest of the season. Katie, thank you for chatting with me today. This has been
welcome.
So insightful. I love the story about Jack's tattoo.
It's a good one.
Well, enjoy the rest of your charter. Enjoy the, you know, day and a half you'll have without internet, because that's not easy to come by. So just enjoy that time.
I do enjoy it, but then my phone blows up whenever I get back and I'm like, I don't even have time to actually reply to this.
Right, of course. Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse.
It is. But no, it's good.
Thanks, Katie. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Beverly Hills?
Yes, please. Okay, so many thoughts. I just want to dive in.
Yeah, go.
Okay, so we're having this secret meeting, we're still back there at Dorit's, that Sutton has called this meeting to talk about the Erica stuff. And I just want to say, like, Lisa Rinna is to me being beyond naive to ask of Sutton why it matters that they're connected to Erica. Because all I can think about is Ghislaine Maxwell and how former housewives have been called out for their connection to her.
Yep.
They did nothing wrong. They probably had no idea, but you are the company you keep, and therefore, it's a problem. Sutton is, I don't think that that is petty. I don't think that that's being a bad friend to say, like, I don't want to be associated with someone who might have done something terribly wrong.
Right. I think Lisa Rinna is not only being naive in this moment, but she's letting the proximity to fame. That's something that Rinna seems to thrive on in some ways. Hi, Amelia and Scott Disick's relationship. You know, she seems to not be concerned about her proximity to scandal, which is a different kind of fame. That's more infamy. And what Sutton's saying is, if Erica's going to go down, I don't want to go down with her. And that's just a responsible conversation to have in this group as we are filming a reality show. Like, hello, it's bigger than what's going on in that room in that moment.
I don't want my name in an article that's associated with this. Well, that's associated with taking money
any
and
of it. Yeah,
right?
Any of
that, that,
it.
That
any
part,
of it.
I,
any of it.
Because of our connection to Erica.
Who would want that?
It's also interesting because Lisa told a story and it was about Harry and a friend he had and not blindly supporting someone just because they're your friend.
Right.
So I don't think it's wrong for Sutton to say, I don't blindly support Erica in this moment. I have questions.
Yeah. Someone has to ask them. And in this episode, it seemed to only be Sutton and Garcelle asking the questions, even though...
Although Dorit's too.
But not when she was in front of Erica.
Oh, true. Yes, correct.
Dorit lost her whole backbone in that moment. And I was like, girl, what are you doing?
I think, though, to give Dorit credit, it's very hard to look someone in the eyes and say, I'm not sure how involved you are in this terrible thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that it really, and even Garcelle, you know, didn't say, Erica, I don't believe you.
Right.
She said, you know, Tom, if this is true.
Yeah. Well, Garcelle had a line in this episode that I think was really key to how the women need to proceed through the rest of the season. And it's awkward, but I'm not afraid. You can't be afraid to ask the tough questions because honestly, Erica needs to get ready for a whole bunch of more tough questions that are going to come her way. And it's not going to be from people who are on her side. So it's almost like they're doing her a favor by checking in and being like, you need to, we're all just making sure that everything's adding up for everyone, including you, Erica. You know?
It's interesting to me how Erica is responding to all of this. There is no empathy on her side for what they are going to have to go through in terms of, you know, the press and all of that.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, as I'm saying it, I'm like, well, she's going, you know, I think sometimes when you're going through something very hard, it's, you're giving all your support to yourself.
Well, right. Yeah. Because she says she has people who have backed away and stopped calling and aren't in touch with her anymore. And, you know, this is the first time we've seen Erica show any remorse, sympathy, something for these victims that are involved in Tom's issues. But in this whole thing, in Erica's version of the truth, she is also a victim. And so I think she's having trouble removing herself from the whole situation because her world came crashing down around her. And so it's like there are victims at many levels as far as Erica is concerned, I think.
Right. It still seems clear, though, that she is supporting Tom.
Yeah.
In my view.
Well, right. Why do you think that?
It's just the way that she words everything and that she said, and that, you know, she is very much using this head injury as a reason. It's not her saying, wow, I don't know who this guy is. I didn't know I was married to a monster.
Yeah.
It's her saying, well, he's been in decline. That's all I know. And if he's guilty of these things, then yeah, he's going to have to pay a price. And I guess in a way I admire that because I think she really deeply loves Tom.
Well, that's some loyalty.
It's loyalty,
sure.
It's love, and that's why it almost hurts her in a way.
One thing that she said that was, I believe it was Sutton asked her, have you had conversations about how to spin this, how to talk about this.
With his lawyers.
She said no.
Okay, I'm going to ask another tough one. Have you had any kind of discussions with attorneys about the story?
How to navigate through that?
How to navigate through it.
No.
She's sitting in front of cameras on a reality show. She's been filming consistently since every bit of news has broken along the way. To think she hasn't sought some kind of advice on what she should and shouldn't say and can't say.
Especially if she is in a mindset of loves and supports him.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy to think that she would be like, look, I want to help him as much as I can. What should we say?
Right. I don't know. Would that be too much of a risk for her? Maybe that's what her lawyers were saying. I don't know. But there seem to be a lot of cracks in the story. And I think that's what Sutton, I'm all in on Sutton again, by the way, for leading this charge because somebody had to do it.
I do, in one way, though, feel bad for Erica because I think she brings up a good point. No charges have been brought up against me. Yeah. I'm not in the hot seat for anything, right, legally speaking. So what they're all saying is not based on a lawsuit or
against,
you know,
her,
I mean,
specifically. Yeah.
So it's almost like you guys are, you are spinning the narrative at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think any of these women, besides Kyle, have spoken to Teddy since she left the show?
I feel bad for Teddy. She came back for her big, you know, reunion moment, and it's like,
and this is the conversation
she, like,
stepped
quiet,
into.
Quiet, Teddy. Right. We gotta focus on the Zerika stuff.
Right, right. I will say, in the next on, at the end of the episode, we see a conversation is coming between Kyle and Kathy about,
oh, yes,
American Woman. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I want to get into
that.
And so that is coming.
Yep.
Rosenthorn?
Yep.
Okay, let's do Rosenthorn.
What was your rose?
I have two.
Oh.
The first is from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it's Kyle telling the camera crew, don't make this look like they did all the work. They're just helping me baste. I cooked all of this.
Right. I believe it. She loves cooking.
I do, too.
I don't want you guys making it seem like she cooked, because I did all of this. They're just helping me baste.
My other rose is from Real Housewives of New York City, which, just bear with me. It is Archie, who's hosting this Black Shabbat that's just gone terribly wrong. And when Sonia is screaming in Ramona's face, Archie just looks across the table at Ebony and whispers, Ebony. Like, she's like, you need to do something.
Right. Like, why did you bring this into my life?
Like, I just have to say, watching this Shabbat dinner was insane enough for fans who are used to Ramona and Sonia's antics.
Yeah.
Imagine being the unsuspecting host who knows that, like, a camera crew is coming, but I cannot imagine. Like, and then you just have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know what to do at that point. It was sort of a little bit like last season, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Big Frida, the dinner where Marlo popped off and, like, lost her shit. And it's like Big Frida was just like, well, I'm going to go, you know, because it was like, what else do you do in that situation,
right,
you know?
What was your rose?
I'm going to give my rose just to the preview for the Shaw's reunion. I think so many of the stuff that we've talked about this season is going to get addressed there. Everyone looks fantastic, very tan. I'm just super excited to find out where we landed with this Mike and Paulina stuff, because she's there.
Right.
Ooh. Okay, what was your thorn?
Okay, my thorn is from Real Housewives of New York, and it's Ramona, once again. Okay. I feel like she's been my thorn a few times, but specifically this story where this woman is explaining her experience as a Black woman not getting proper medical care and how it almost killed her and her child, and Ramona chiming in and being like, well, I, too, have been, you know, a victim. So it's not just Black people. And it's right. Like, Ramona, shut the fuck up.
I know.
Stop it.
Right.
Stop it.
Just stop it. It doesn't always have to be a tit for tat. Just listen to people.
Well, let me tell you something. I gave birth to my daughter, and I was major pain, and I had a nurse, and she was Black. And I said, I am having so much pain. And she wouldn't believe me. She goes, you're not having pain. I was screaming. I'm like,
you. I need painkillers. I mean, I didn't have a second baby because of the pain I had from my birth. When I was a white woman, my doctor didn't care to take care of my pain. My nursing came
right. That's not how it usually goes, is what she's saying.
I'm just saying I have pain and no pain takes care of my pain.
Right, so
she's saying that's not how it goes normally.
I'm just saying.
So
I hear you.
I mean, it happens to white people too.
And the love,
but not at the level.
Not most white people. Did you hear what she said?
She can't help herself.
I really miss Bethany this season because I feel like Bethany would give it to Ramona a lot harder than Ebony is.
That's true. Or Leah, for that matter. Leah approaches it in the wrong way. I think Bethany would have approached it with Ramona in a different way that would have been far more entertaining to watch.
Right. What's your thorn?
Okay, my thorn is going to go to Erica, only because when I was watching this recent episode, this very deep voice that she's been doing when she's having serious conversations, it reminded me of... Remember
Paris Hilton?
No. Oh. Well, my friend that I was watching it with was like, kind of reminds me of Paris. And I was like, don't do that. Don't disrespect Paris like that.
I mean, don't disrespect Paris. Yes, but, you know.
Yes, and it was giving me Elizabeth Holmes vibes. Oh, remember, like, Miss Theranos, scary type lady. You know, the whole shift that she allegedly did with her voice to try to help convince people to view her, perceive her in a different way. I'm starting to get those vibes from Erica in a lot of these conversations. It's like she is intending to change the tone of her voice.
I have to say, though, it is something people do naturally. Like, I am becoming so much more aware of it because we've been working from home.
Yeah.
And just the voice I use with Andrew, and then I'll get on a work call, and I just notice how my register goes down so much more because I'm like, I don't want to be viewed as some, you know.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
It is true. Your voice does change depending on circumstances.
But I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. I just think that there's elements of that in everyone.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely elements of it in Erica this season.
We'll be back next week with an all new episode. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.